the book of John. And when you go to the book of John, go to chapter number 9. John chapter number 9. And if you don't have a Bible, we do have some pew Bibles. They're fairly close under the seats there. And if not, we try to have it on the screen for you as well. That way, everybody should be able to see the Bible, be able to read. And John chapter number 9, if you're there, say amen. Amen. I want you to look at verse number 1. We'll read 7 verses, and we'll go from there, all right? And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be here. I pray, Lord, you'd help us for the next few minutes. God, I thank you for these that have gathered, a lot of folks here, some visitors here. Thank you for them. And I pray the singing, Lord, has been good, and we've worshiped you with our giving. Now, God, as we give you our undivided attention, I pray that you would help us look to you, which comes our help. The only way that we can leave here different than when we walked in is when, God, we look into your word and wash our eyes with the word so we may see. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to do that today. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Here in John chapter number 9, you'll notice the first word of John chapter number 9 says, and. And is a conjunction. If I remember anything about English class, and is a conjunction which connects John 8 with John 9. And so in John chapter number 8, you know the story, we're not preaching on this, but the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery to Jesus, and they brought this woman before him. They only brought the woman, they didn't bring the man, so you already know it's a setup. And so they brought this woman and said, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. Jesus, I know what the law says. I know what the Ten Commandments say, but what say ye? And they're trying to put him in the trick bag. Well, Jesus, as you know the story in John 8, he bends down, stoops down, and begins to write on the ground. And little did they know, the same guy that's writing on the ground is the same finger that wrote the Ten Commandments in Exodus 19. And so Jesus has this woman standing in front of him. He's got all of these Pharisees and all of these onlookers around him. And he stooped down, and the Bible says he lifted himself up after he wrote something on the ground. Now, I don't know what he wrote on the ground, but he probably wrote those men's names that were in the crowd that was caught with this woman. And so he begins to write the man's name down, and everybody's looking over his shoulder going. And one by one, the Bible says, here they go dispersing. And then the Bible says Jesus lifted himself up. I think the Bible says, if Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He lifted himself off of the ground. He says, hey, woman, where is thine accusers? And she said, I don't see anybody. He says, go and sin no more. Then everybody around accused Jesus after he said, I am. In verse number 12 of 8, this is what he said. Jesus said, woman, where is those thine accusers? So verse 10 and verse 12, Jesus spake unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Isn't that good? Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of the world, and you follow me shall not walk in darkness, but you shall have the light of life. And then by the end of chapter 8, I'm connecting 8 with 9. You with me? And so by the time you get to the end of 8, these Pharisees are picking up stones to throw at Jesus because Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. I was before Abraham, I'm after Abraham, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and the first and the last, and they didn't like it. They picked up stones to throw at him, and the last verse of verse number 8:59, then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself, went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from his birth. Do you see the connection? In chapter number 8, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And there's a man that I'm going to pass by that is in darkness and needs the light of the world. Aren't you glad when Jesus passes by your way? Sometimes sitting in church, Jesus will just pass by. Sometime while we're singing some of these old songs, Jesus will just come and pass by. I like it when Jesus feels welcome to pass by our way. And he passed by and he noticed this man who was blind from birth. Number one, I want you to notice his condition. This man's condition, the Bible tells us that he was blind. He lived in a world of darkness. Not only was he blind, but he was blind from birth. He was blind from birth. That means he's never seen a sunrise. That means he's never seen a sunset. He's never seen an ocean. That man has never seen the mountains and the snow caps on top of those mountains. This man has never seen a baby smile. This baby has never seen a flower bloom. This man has never seen a loved one's face. All he had ever known was a world of darkness. We see this man, we can see ourselves before we got saved. Before we got saved, you and I were blind from birth. I know you could see when you were born. I understand that, but I'm talking about spiritually blind, so you could not see. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world, the devil, the God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the... Who's the light of the world? The light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Before you were saved, before I was saved, we were born into spiritual blindness. We couldn't see. Every person outside of the new birth was blind, couldn't see. Sometimes we forget that sinners, people that are not saved, people that don't go to church, they're blind and they can't see what we can see. We don't understand why people do some of the things that they do. We don't understand why they don't know any better. They're blind. You would think that people would love for a person like a saved person to witness to them. You would think a person would want somebody to tell them about Jesus. You would think that a family gathering a meal would not go into a cat fight because somebody brought up religion. You would think that people would want to hear about Christ. But here's something we need to understand. They don't know any better. They're blind and cannot see. It's not that the person, the sinner is just some bad person, the worst person you could think about. It's not that it's that. It's that they cannot see. And the problem is they're blind. Psalm 51 and 5 says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Romans 5:12, "For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." That's why you've never had to teach your kids how to lie. You've never had to teach them how to deceive you when you say, "Hey, did you go play in that road?" "Oh no, I didn't go play in the road." That's why you've never had to teach your kids when, even adults, the sign says wet paint. Even us adults go. Because there's something inside of us that we are rebellious by nature. And sometimes we get hot. And we are rebellious. We don't have to send our kids to lying school. They do it by their own nature. They're a sinner by birth, a sinner by nature, a sinner by choice. Everybody is born blind. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Everybody's born spiritually blind. This man was born blind probably. Hey, think about this. This man was probably content in being blind. Why? That's all he's ever known. He didn't know what he was missing. Oh, I'm going somewhere right here. Hallelujah. I just felt a little preach coming up my right leg right here. He didn't know what he was missing. He didn't know anything to compare it to. So he was content in being blind. It didn't bother him to be blind. I knew a couple one time, and this couple, the wife was born blind. She had never seen a kid playing in the backyard. She'd never seen anything. She'd been blind her whole life, and she was very content because she didn't have anything to compare it to. But her husband was born with eyesight, and later on in life, in his 20s, he lost his eyesight, and this man was depressed. This man fought a battle of he could not see. Why? Because he knew what he was missing. The woman was very content because she didn't know what she was missing. She had never seen mountains or the snowfall or children playing in the backyard. She didn't know what she was missing. And so there are those that have never been saved who seem to be happy. They're content in the way things are. They're satisfied with being blind, but they don't know what they're missing. They've never experienced real joy. They've never known anything about the peace that passes all understanding. They don't know anything like the Lord is my shepherd. They don't know what it is to say that I'm his and he is mine. They don't know what it is to say, therefore there is no condemnation to those of us that are saved. They just don't know what they're missing. Do you realize this? I've had more fun on my worst day of being saved than I ever did on my best day being lost. They don't know what they're missing. Number one, the condition. But number two, let me get to the cause. Notice this cause. The disciples asked Jesus, said, "Who sinned, him or his parents?" Because there is an Eastern custom that says, if you're born with a condition or an abnormality or something wrong with you, or you get sick, then you must have sinned. You have sin in your life. God's mad at you. And that was an Eastern custom. We even find that to be true in Job's day. Remember, Job had all that trouble, and he had three good friends. How many of you got three good friends that came by Job and said, "Job, what in the world did you do? You need to get down to the church and get right. You must have sin in your life." But notice what Jesus said. Jesus said he didn't sin. His parents didn't sin. The reason he was born blind is so I could show forth the glory of God. Because when I come through, this man is very content with being blind. But when I pass by, and give him sight, it is a purpose where everybody's going to look and say, "Ain't no, this is Billsfield, right? Ain't no way anybody else done that except God." Nobody else could get the glory. So you say, "Preacher, what is it?" Sometimes when you go through trouble, sometimes when you have a financial difficulty, sometimes when you have trouble come in your life, everybody around you say, "Boy, he must have done something really bad. Boy, she must be out of the will of God." But it just might be that God's scooping off a place and making an opportunity where he can show forth his glory through your life. Just like Job, Job is like, "Lord, what in the world did I do? I don't know, but dust where I come from, dust shall I return. The Lord hath given, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." No doubt this fellow wondered, "Why? Why was I born blind?" No doubt, little did he know that God was working to create an opportunity to show forth God's mighty power. Our problems, our trials are God's opportunity. It's not always you did something wrong. It's not always that God's mad at you. He may be, think about it this. He might can trust you for him to use you to show forth his glory to everybody else around you. And everybody else around you go, "Boy, nobody but God could do that." Isn't that good? The cause. We saw his condition, born blind. The cause, he wasn't a sin, or it wasn't because he was born in sin or he did something bad and all of that kind of thing. Number three, here's where I want to get to, his cure. I showed you the condition, I showed you the cause, but number three, and here's where I want to get to. All of that was introduction. Somebody say amen right there. This right here, the last point is the message. Here's the cure. Verse 6 says, he spat on the ground. There's nothing in the Bible by accident. Why? You ever thought, why did God spit on the ground? Now, I know some of you are looking like, "Man, we're fixing to go to lunch here in a minute. Then, preacher, this is not a sophisticated topic to talk about." Would it be okay if I say saliva? Would that be better to say saliva? But the Bible says he spat on the ground. I don't know where you come from, but I know. And I'm thinking like you're thinking. I'm thinking, okay, why in the world would the Lord spit on the ground? And then there's a law in the Bible. It's called the law of first mention. You go back to the first time that word is ever used, and you will, now stay in your seat. Don't get excited. You'll find probably the definition that'll run true all the way through the Bible. So I went back to the first time spit is used. The first time spit was used is in Leviticus 15 and verse 8. Not going to go over there and look at it, but this is what it was. If a man was leprous, if a man had a disease, if a man had something wrong with him, an issue, if he, let's say, coughed, spit, come out of his mouth and got on you, what was on him got on you. Don't get ahead of me. It's a transfer of identity. Whatever this man that was sick had, it was passed to whoever he coughed on, spit on, and the identity. You say, "Preacher, identity, your identity is in your spit?" Think about it. I used to work in the child support court. We had child support court on Fridays. And Jackson, and of course, all these men would come in, and the lady would be over here, and somehow or another, they loved each other for some short time, and all of a sudden, they hate each other. And so this woman says, that's his baby. And he's like, no, that ain't mine. And so the judge would say, hey, would you submit to a DNA test? And they said, well, sure, that baby ain't mine. And so they would give me this, looked like a long Q-tip thing. I don't know if they still do this today. That's been several years ago. And so you'd go in this back room and I'd say, hey, open your mouth. And I would go up in his cheek there and get some saliva. And I'd put it in a little plastic bag and tighten that thing up and just put it in a little thing, send it off. And it would come back and it would tell the identity. It would tell the identity. Now, maybe some of you say, well, hey, I've even got a dog. He's a golden retriever. And you know what? They do this with dogs, too. I used to have a lab, Susie, and we didn't know. We didn't know if she was Heinz 57 or a mix of what all, you know. And so they sent us one of them things. We did the same thing with the dog. You go in there and get a little saliva, and you do the same thing. You send it off, and it says, man, this dog right here has got a lie. This dog has been identified with some good breeds. I thought that was interesting. Even that, what is it, an ancestry.com. You see the advertisement on TV. If you want to find out where you come from. I'm not worried about where I come from. I'm worried about where I'm going. But if you call them, they'll send you a little kit, and it's got the little thing. You go in your mouth, and you stick it in a little plastic bag, and you'd be surprised the identity that's in your saliva. Your spit. And I'm wondering, you're thinking, well, why in the world are we going to be preaching on spit? But in John chapter number 8, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And there's a man in John chapter 9 that's in darkness. And I need to transfer what's the light of the world to a man that's in darkness. And the only way to do that is to spit on the ground. Now, I don't know about y'all, but now I don't know anything about car work and you can ask my brother. People want to know a Bible question or something, usually they'll call me, and if they want to know something about plumbing or something about some kind of where you get your hands dirty, they'll call my brother. It's just that way. I don't know anything about all that stuff. Bless them, Lord, over here. Anyway, so I don't know anything about that. But I did know enough about this because my cars have broke down. My trucks have broke down enough to know you take it into the dealership. You ready? Take it into the dealership and they'll come back and they'll say, now, are you planning on keeping this truck for a long time? If you plan on keeping it for a long time, we'll fix it right. We'll go back to the factory and get an original part that actually goes on this. But if you plan on trading it in the next, you know, month or two or something, we got an aftermarket that'll just get you by. Somebody say amen right there. So you're thinking, what in the world? Why did Jesus spit on the ground in the dirt and make a mud pie? Something we did when we were kids. Why'd he do that? Because Jesus wanted to go back and get factory parts. Let me get over here to the Pentecostal side. Jesus had to go and he wanted to go way back and get factory parts from the original. And so Jesus transferred his identity to the ground. You say, where's the factory at? Genesis chapter number 2, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So Jesus said, I'm going to transfer my identity to this dirt like I did in the Garden of Eden, and I'm going to give this man some factory parts that he wasn't born with. Somebody ought to be getting excited besides Tommy. And so he spat on the ground and he made him clay. and he put clay on that, show that picture up there where that fella, put clay on that man's eyes. Factory parts from Genesis. And this man was made to see. Jesus transformed his identity to this man. And then in verse number 6, he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Water in the Bible is a picture and a type of the Word of God. The verse over there, I think it is Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you want to see, you need to wash. You have to have the right identity transferred to you, have an original part transferred to you, and then wash it out with the Word. What is it over there in Ephesians? Did I put that up there? Ephesians, where it says, I may have wrote it down over here. There it is, Ephesians 5 and verse 20, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with washing of the Word, or washing water by the what? The Word. Told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Isn't that amazing? Do you remember, ladies and gentlemen, when you were blind and could not see and you heard the preaching of the Word and Jesus spat on the ground, you couldn't see? Have you ever noticed we sang Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved an old wretch like me? I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I can see. Aren't you glad you can see today? Your eyes have been opened, and you can see some of it. You know, we were talking about just a few minutes ago, and this ain't a part of the message, and I'm not getting into all of this, but do you realize there are people blinded of the things that are going on around them, and they don't realize, they cannot see how this is in relation to the book of the Revelation, and how all of this thing is working to the coming of the past of the Lord Jesus Christ coming in the clouds of glory to receive the church up in there. They don't realize, they can't see all of that stuff. But to those of us that are saved, that have been washed by the water of the Word, we can see those things of God. Now, let me say this, and I'm winding down to the close. No amens, please. But I'm glad Jesus one day passed by my way. I'm glad he passed my way one time. And you think about this. Think about this. He's never been able to see anything, okay? Never been able to see anything. Can you imagine this guy, he's washed and has eyes open and he can see. He's never been able to see before. Do y'all think he went, hey, man? Jesus, that was just so wonderful. I've been so moved. I bet you that man took off running. I know we're Baptists, but I bet you he acted like a Pentecostal for 35 minutes. I bet he run around and saying, hey, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. That's the way it is when a person gets saved. There's rejoicing in heaven. Because somebody can see now. Now I got to finish up with saying this. Over there, and let me see if I can find the verses. I didn't put them up there on the screen. But after, you know, this fella, his parents was involved and all that kind of stuff. Later on in chapter number 9, the Pharisees came to his parents and said, what happened? I thought he was born blind. And there's a verse, I don't remember, I can't call it, but it's in chapter 9, and they said, the parents said, he's of age, go ask him. Look, you ain't got to ask your mama or your daddy when you got saved. If you don't know, if your parents have to tell you, you probably didn't get a good dose of it. But if you got saved, you're going to remember and you can tell mom and daddy about it. They're not going to tell you about it. You're going to tell them about it. And the Pharisees, the parents said, go ask him. He's of age. Go ask him. And so these Pharisees, in the latter parts of chapter number 9, and I'm closing, it's what they say. They start asking him a bunch of theological questions. How'd this happen? Where were you when this happened? Who is this guy? All this kind of stuff. You know, you ever know people like that? They want to find out what you know and all this kind of stuff. But listen, when I first got saved, I didn't know a lot. Still don't know a lot. But you know what that man said? He told the Pharisees, he said, let me put it in Millsfield terminology right here. He said, I don't know what y'all are talking about, the theological discussions and all y'all want to have. All I know is, listen to me real good, all I know is I was blind and now I can see. And it's all because of that man right there. I don't know who he is, where he come from. All I know, he touched my blinded eyes, and now I can see. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why Jesus spat on the ground, transferring his identity to a poor old blind man, and now he can see. Question, has this ever happened to you? Has there ever been a time and a place in your life where it's happened to you? Where you were blind, you couldn't see. Maybe you were sitting in church. Maybe you were driving down the road in your car. And the Lord started speaking to your heart. Maybe you were at your house and maybe you were sitting on the couch. You're in a recliner somewhere. God started dealing with your heart. You don't have to be in church to get saved. It's a good place to get saved, but you get saved anywhere when the Lord starts dealing with your heart, speaking to your heart. And it's not about 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. 5, 6, 7, let's all go to heaven. 8, 9, 10, let's do it again. It ain't all a part about that. Has there ever been a time and a place where you can say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, and that man touched me, and now I can see. Has that ever happened to you? I remember when it happened to me. I'm sure glad, and Jesus passed by. He's passing by this morning. He's walking down that aisle. He's walking through these seats right now. He's passing by your way. Heavenly Father, God, I pray right now. You're speaking to hearts. You're dealing with hearts right now. Nothing I've said, but Lord, it needs to be everything you've said through your word. God, I pray if somebody don't know you, they're still blind, they don't understand, they've never been able to see you spiritually. Lord, I pray that you transfer your...